Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The songwriter said, let the glory of the Lord rise amongst us. I know the spirit of the Lord is here. Somebody might say, how? Because I brought him in with me. You brought him in with you. So the glory of the Lord is in this place. Put your sanctified hands together and give God some glory in his house. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We give glory unto you, Lord, for you're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise and worship team, for again inviting us into your space of worship. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn your attention to Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 31 through 33 and through 35. So Matthew 26, verse 31 and 33, and then through 35. And then also Philippians 1 and 6. If you are here today and you don't have a Bible or a cell phone or a tablet, please look up on the screen and those scriptures will be there. If I could have you rest on your feet for the reverence of the reading of the word of God, somebody might say that's old school, but old school works every time. Amen. Now, if you can't, we understand and God knows that. But if you can, please do so. If you would, Matthew 26, 31 and verse 33 and 35. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And if you would, let me give you that same rendering in the Amplified. I'm convinced and confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, the time of his return. Eternal God, we are looking to you, Lord, for we need to hear from you. For if we don't hear from you, we won't know what to do. So, Lord, we look to you, Lord, and ask you, Lord, this day, meet us, God. Speak to us. Deal with us, God. Convict us, Lord. Cause us, Lord Jesus, to cry out to you. And Lord, when everything is said and done and souls are saved, people are delivered, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And oh Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice, or even Lord, those that are listening on live stream, if they've never repented of their sins, nor were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, or filled with the Holy Ghost, let them know today is that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Before you're seated, if you allow me to go back to Philippians 1 and 6, there's one portion of it that I want to say. That he which begun a good work in you will perform it. God bless you. You may be seated. And as you're seating, I want you to remember this thought. God's not finished with me. God's not finished with me. Oh, somebody get that in your spirit. God's not finished with me. I know you've been through some stuff. You're going through some stuff. But I'm here to tell you, God's not finished with you. Hallelujah. As we begin to look at our thought, there is one word that really leaps out to me, and that is the word finished. Finished means completed, finalized, done with, the end. Now, if I could just get me a few people, you don't have to be all of you, but those that would admit that even now you find yourself failing God. See, let me put up both of my hands and one foot. Because we need to understand that we do fall, but we can't get back up. Hallelujah. The righteous man, the just man falleth down 7 times. But guess what he does? Gets back up and keeps it moving. Anybody have any struggles? Come on. Can I get me some real people in the house of God? Anybody has some challenges? And most of all, has there anybody in here that ever failed God? Thank God that you're telling the truth so you can stay in church. It happens. But I've come to tell you that God is not done. God is not finished. God is not through with you. So allow me to admonish you not to let your past failures dictate your standing with God. Somebody say, why? Because he is the God of second chances. In other words, that means unlimited chances. Case in point. Remember when Peter said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. And then Peter said, 7 times? The Lord said, no, 7 times 70. You see, because his mercies are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. You've got to get this in your spirit. You've got to hear him saying this in your spirit. I'm not finished with you yet. I'm still making you. I'm molding you. I'm shaping you. I'm conforming you to my likeness. God's not done with us. We're buildings under construction. Believe it? Mm-hmm. We are a work in progress. And guess what? I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has been revealed to every one of us what God has in store for you, my brothers and my sisters. So, to that, let's make this live. Let's chronicle the life of only one person. And there's a lot of other people in the Bible we could look at. But today, let's chronicle the life of Peter and check out some of the highlights in his life. Number one, he was chosen to be one of the disciples by Jesus Christ himself. He walked with Jesus in his earthly ministry. For 3.5 years, Jesus poured into not only the disciples, but in particularly Peter. He was a witness to miracles and wonders. He saw Jesus open the blind eyes, cause the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He witnessed all of these miracles that Jesus performed. And guess what? Peter also did something that no one else but Jesus could do. You got it. He walked on water. You remember the cat? There they are in this boat. A storm is raging. The disciples are fearful. And they saw Jesus. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out to you." I can imagine Jesus saying, "Boy, this boy is stepping on faith today. Come on out. Come on. Be a water walker with me." The Bible said Peter started walking on water. Has anybody been walking on water? Has anybody ever accomplished that feat? Then stop talking about Peter. Stop bad-mouthing Peter. He did what we all do. He made the fatal mistake to take his eyes off of Jesus and start paying attention to what was going on around. I'm telling you, put it in your spirit. Stop paying attention to all of the chatter out there. Stop paying attention to all the things that are happening out there. Peter was doing good until he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. So you see, Peter had some great accomplishments. He was at the Last Supper with Christ. He even cut off the ear of one of the servants to prevent them from arresting our Lord and Savior. However, somebody say, however. As we continue to read in our text, we find Jesus' word coming to pass that Peter would deny him. Now, you might be sitting there live and in living color, or maybe even streaming. You might be asking this question to yourself. What happened? Somebody said, what happened? I'm glad you asked. Well, if we actually continue to look at the account, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane instructing Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, tarry ye here and watch. Somebody say, watch. See, it's important that because he wanted to leave them with an example of what it means to pray. Oh, I'm going to help somebody today. All we had to do was look at how Jesus prayed. He prayed with such intensity. The Bible said he prayed until the point where the sweat began to be drops of blood. So he's instructing them, tarry ye here and watch with me. When you look at verses 40 and 41, and he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. Can you imagine that? The Lord left the rest of the disciples, just took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and said, come on with me. Tarry ye here and watch. When he comes back the first time, they're sleeping. Can you imagine? Jesus just looks at them and he goes back and he prays again. But then I love what it says. And he cometh unto the disciples, findeth them asleep, and he saith unto Peter. Anybody ever wonder why he addressed Peter so much? Because you know Peter was like the unofficial spokesperson of the disciples. He always was the first one to speak out. There was a time where Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that you're a prophet. He said, but wait a minute. Come on now. Y'all been walking with me. Who do you say that I am? Here go Peter, the spokesperson. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, Peter, you got it. You got the revelation. So I'm trying to let you see what kind of person Peter was. So that's why he addressed Peter. And he saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? How many of you understand that prayer is important? Amen. Now, don't say nothing on this one. Just sit there that way when nobody knows you. He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I'm just saying, maybe that means that we should at least pray a hour. Now, the question on the floor is, how many of us pray at least an hour? Now, you say, well, that's a long time. Well, technically, there are 24 hours in a day. And literally, should I say, we should be tithing time to God. And so that means we should at least 2 hours and 40 minutes give him. Now, I'm not saying it's all got to be prayer, but at least 1 hour was prayer. Because he said, what, could you not watch with me at least 1 hour of the 2 hours and 40 minutes? Then he said this, watch and pray. Somebody say, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Notice they go together like peanut butter and jelly. Good. Watch. What would they get out of watching? They would get out of watching what real prayer is all about. It's more than, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my soul to keep. It's more than, God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. It's more than all of that. If they were to watch, they would see the great agony that he was in as he was praying. They would see the intensity that he was praying with. So he's watch, and then he says pray. In other words, turn around and emulate, turn around and then put into practice what you see me do. So he said watch and pray, but this is the reason that ye enter not into temptation. Now, please, sir, ma'am, again, don't raise your hand, don't say nothing. Maybe we find ourselves being tempted on a regular and entering into the temptation. That means yielding, that means giving into it, is because you are not praying. Oh, it got quiet. This is an apostolic church. All y'all on Facebook, YouTube, this is an apostolic, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church. And we've got to challenge one another when it comes to prayer. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. So it could be maybe, just maybe, they fell into temptation because they wouldn't respond in prayer. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Then he said this, the spirit indeed is willing. You know how I know? Because remember what Peter said? Though everybody else walk away, basically I'll be here. You can count on me. I got your back. Can you imagine Jesus walking up to Peter, the one that spoke those eloquent words, and now you calling them in? The one that got my back now. The one that said that you be there. My sleeping guard. You know what they will say? Woo! I used to. Thank you, Jesus. It brought back a flashback. Because I was not always just pastoring. I was working a secular job. My job was nuclear security. So I had to watch. I had to keep my peepers open, no matter what. But if your peepers ever went to, like, all of a sudden you start getting. They used to tell us, no problem. As long as you sleep, you got a job. But the minute you open them up, you're out of here. Fire! Peter is saying, I'm going to be with you, but he's sleeping. So Jesus says this. The spirit indeed is willing because, you know, we had that conversation. You told me I'm going to be there. The spirit was willing, but, somebody say but. But's the conjunction. Find out the function. The flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. All of that yang yang. Your flesh is weak. So what happens? And the thing I love about the Bible, it reiterates things in other gospels. Luke 22 and 40 says it this way. He said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. So again, an easy way to fall, to fail, is to stop praying. To pray less. You see, prayer positions us into a place of power to overcome. Oh, let me say that again. You didn't get it. You see, prayer, it positions us into a place of power to overcome temptation. There are no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I'm telling you, prayer does position you into a place of power to overcome. We should not underestimate the power of prayer in our lives. If we would take prayer seriously, my God, we would have some giant killers in the house. Prayer. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer is a gauge to determine our relationship with our Lord. You want to find out where you are with God? Examine your prayer life. Ask yourself this question. I mean it. It's rhetorical nature. I don't want you to open up your mouth, but in your spirit, man, answer the question. How's your prayer life? I wish I could look everyone face. Look up here at me. I'm trying to look all of y'all in the face. How's your prayer life? Ask yourself the question. I've got to ask myself the question. How's my prayer life? Am I shucking and jiving when it comes to talking to Jesus? More so, am I shucking and jiving when it's time to hush up and listen to him? You know how we do it. Lord, would you do this? Lord, would you do that? But how much time, honestly, do we zip it up and listen to what he has to say to your requests? Some of you are asking for some stuff, and he might be telling you the answer, but you're not listening. You're moving forward, but the answer was wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And I'll strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But because you still flapping him, whole time of prayer is gone. And you haven't allowed him to respond to your request. So did you ask yourself that question? How is your prayer life? Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, no prayer. Talk back to me. That's what it is. Instead of watching and praying and following the example of Jesus in prayer, they were instead sleeping on the job. Remember, because he told them, watch and pray. Now, time is rapidly moving. But don't forget, we're talking about God's not finished with you. And we're in particularly talking about Peter's life. So we're talking about Peter's life, and so we understand that God wasn't finished with Peter. And some of you might still be questioning, how do you know that? Well, let's continue to look at his life. You remember from here, what happens is that they come to get Jesus. Mm-hmm. They come to take him to Caiaphas and to judge him. And as they're going to take them, what happens is that now Peter begins to fall behind. The Bible says he follows him from afar off. Somebody say he's talking about a distance. Now I need you again to ask yourself this question. How close are you following? Do you follow from a distance? See, when you follow from a distance, that's saying there's stuff between you and Jesus. So he follows him afar off. And then when they get there, what happens is he's sitting with the servants, and he's watching the judge. He's watching what's happening. And the Bible says that after a while, a little maiden came to him and says, hey, excuse me, sir, aren't you one of them? The Bible said he flat out denied him. Then another person comes to him and says, wait a minute. You are definitely one of those guys. The Bible said that he swore with an oath, I don't know the man. And last but not least, a third person came up and said, I know you one of them. You know how I know? Because your speech betray you. Immediately, he started trying to curse. Now, you know, some of y'all hadn't cursed in a long time. But to fit in and to blend in, you'll start cursing. Let me see, man. You can't even put them together no more. But he literally, to make sure that they would believe him, he started cursing. And the Bible said at that moment, the cock crew. Now, I need you to understand that Jesus had told him that this would happen. But remember, Peter, never will I. Watch that word never. Be careful of the word never. Because as sure as you fix your lips to say it, you're going to be challenged with it. Immediately, when he heard that cock crow, the Bible said he wept bitterly. You know, when we weep like that, it means repentance. He immediately did that. And if you follow his life a little bit more, I guess he said, you know what? God can't use me no more. Come on, guys, let's go fishing. You know how when you backslide, you try to go back to the old fishing hole. You know where you... So he said, let's go fishing. So they went out and they started fishing. And on the shore, they saw this. Couldn't make out who it was, but somebody on the shore saying, hey, y'all, here you go. Cast your nets on this side. Wait a minute, I know. You say, how you gonna tell me? I know y'all been out here all night long, but just listen to me. Cast your nets on that side. The Bible said immediately they caught a great drought of fish, so much that they couldn't even contain them, but the boat started sinking. The Bible said that Peter recognized it was Jesus. Now, I don't know why Peter was out there naked. You need to read the account, but he's naked. And when he sees Jesus, he puts on something and he dives in the water. And I guess they were saying, what's wrong with him? We ain't sinking. And as they are making it to shore in the boat, Peter is there and the Lord is there. Now, I want you to understand, God's not finished with Peter. Somebody say, how you know? Because this is what he said. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking to Peter. Matter of fact, he changed his name from Simon to Peter. Peter means rock. So here we have it. Peter makes it to the shore. Jesus has the fish already cooked up. Listen, I don't know if they had cornmeal back then, but whatever it was ready. So he started giving it to the disciples. Then he had a conversation with Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, yeah, you know I love you. And the Bible said, ask them again. Somebody say that's the second time. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Then the third time. Now see, right then and there, some of us, we would have got like real upset. Like, you can't hear me? I told you I love you. Then he said, feed my lambs. Now, I don't know if this is the reason why, but I guess he wanted Peter to understand. Remember, Peter, you denied me three times. So maybe this is to, it ain't no get back, but it's so you will know for surety that you love me. So he asked him three times. Now, I'm about done. And you might say again, how do you know that he was not done with Peter? Because on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it filled each of them. Now, if you continue to follow the account, the person that was there, that was the main man, was Peter. See, God, no matter what Peter had done, he wasn't done with him. He wasn't through with him. He wasn't finished with him. I know there might be somebody you feel you failed God so bad, it ain't no way under heaven God could still use me. The devil is a liar. I wish I could make David appear. David will tell you, yes, I sinned against God. I had another man's wife and I had him killed. But God, I went to him and I said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You see, God wasn't finished with David. How do I know? Because he said this, David is a man after my own heart. Listen, God is not finished with you. He's still working on you. He's still working on me to make us what we ought to be. Personally, God's not finished with me yet. I'm a work in progress, but I trust God will continue his good work in me that he started over 40 years ago. Until one day I stand before him, completed a work in Christ. Can I get you to stand? God, the songwriter said, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Please look beyond my faults. Look beyond that I have failed God and see what God sees. God sees something in me, in you, that brings to the point he's not done with us. He's not through with us. He's not finished with us. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, Lord, maybe, just maybe, this word has penetrated the heart and the mind of someone that has felt that they could never make it back to you. They could never, Lord, be used in a manner in which you, Lord, use them. Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, put in that person, that individual, this word, I am not finished with you yet. I know the thoughts and the plans that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Are you here today? Are you here? And you want to come up to the altar? You on Facebook, you on YouTube, make your place an altar. If you were at the bed, bow down at the foot of your bed. If you were in the living room, turn around on that sofa. If you were in the kitchen area, pull that chair and make it an altar. But wherever you are, I want you to realize that God, I've had a hard time. I've had a hard time forgiving myself. I know you've forgiven me, but I've had a hard time. because I remember what manner of man I was and I've fallen backwards. So Lord, please help me today. Bring me, Lord, to a place that you can position me in prayer, that, Lord, I will hear and respond to your voice. Lord, I'm asking you right now, those that have come up to the altar, those that are visibly here, live and in living color, I'm not touching nobody today, God. I want you to reach down, Lord, from heaven and touch them one more time, Lord. Touch them, Lord, with your spirit, God. Touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Those that are live streaming, God, right there in their home, Jesus makes house calls. Move right now, God, in that home, God. Move upon that single parent, Lord, that's struggling raising that child. Lord, touch them right now and let them know, Lord, that they can make it. God, I pray right now that this word, Lord, will penetrate the heart and the mind and the soul of the backslider. The devil has fed them, Lord, a bunch of lies. He don't want you no more. Well, the Bible said that he's married to the backsliding. So you can come on back home. Do as the prodigal. Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Receive me back, Lord. Songwriter said, take me back. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now your presence is in this place and it's moving, I believe, even through the airwaves, God. Lord, I believe right now, Lord, people that, Lord, are on the outside are being moved by the presence of God. Have your way, Lord, on today. Have your way, Lord.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. You are my champion.
Yes, Lord.
Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered all.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give God some glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you, God. You're not through. You're not finished. You're not done with us. Hallelujah. Bless you. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We praise God and hope that there is something that's been said or done in a day in this service that has encouraged you, challenged you, brought you to a place where you realize, God, you're still working with me. You're still having patience with me. Even when I don't do right, even when I'm not living right, you still extend your mercy and your grace to me. God bless you. Y'all may be seated.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.